Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we talk about the second week of pre-season testing in Barcelona. And my name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Vogel. Hello everyone to episode 131 of the Fastest Lap podcast. Pre-season testing is done and we are both back from Barcelona. How was it for you, Fergal, to cover the test from the media center?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Long days, but yeah, really fun. Really.
When did your day start and end then?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd aim to be at the media center for around 8 o'clock, and then it would be 8:30, 9 o'clock when we were leaving in the evening. So yeah, but you know, all part of it. It was a lot of fun, but yeah, by the end of it, I was kind of glad to be getting home. But yeah, definitely glad I was there.
Yeah, and you would believe that for team members, it's even more so, working 2 weeks nonstop to get the cars out, to test parts, and I think it was an interview of Rob Smedley where he said that basically teams are running two shifts of people working, so basically they've got day and night work going on, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it is for most teams, but I believe it's 7 to 7. You know, the day guys start at 7 and finish in the evening 7, and then the night guys take over. So, yeah, I mean, and then on top of that, you know, when you're traveling around the world, it must be exhausting for those guys. So, yeah, I mean, as much as I learned in the media side of things over the 2 weeks, I definitely learned that for those team members, it's not an easy job.
Yeah, and you can understand now why they complain about adding more and more races to the calendar. But talking about testing itself, last week I began the episode with the phrase that we basically still know nothing. I wouldn't say that we know nothing after the second test, but still it's very difficult to predict the running order. One thing, however, that was pretty outstanding for me, I mean, times are one thing. You could read Vettel's best lap time on the board. It was a 16.2, I think. Was it?
Well, he put me on the spot there.
Yeah, it was something like 16.2. And sounds quick, but to put it in perspective, you needed to, or in my opinion, you needed to watch the onboard of that fastest lap, because that was really an eye-opener. The car was so on rails, it's unbelievable. At no point during the lap, Vettel actually needed to correct any of his steering inputs, and every movement he made was so smooth. And I mean, it could mean two things. Either the Ferrari is very easy when it comes to, or when the driver drives at the limit, or maybe they weren't pushing at all, and it was just kind of quick-ish lap, but not everything the car had. So did you watch that onboard board lap?
Yeah, I did, and I'm going to go with your second option there. I don't think it was he wasn't off the pace, I'd say, but he wasn't on the limit, because, I mean, there's no way a Formula One car in this day and age can be that smooth over a lap. So, that's... I'm not... It looks like a good car, but... he wasn't on the limit. He was surely not on the limit. So I'm sure when we get to Melbourne and the following races and qualifying, we'll see a lot more aggressive laps and a lot more movement on the steering wheel for the drivers, and especially in that Ferrari. But Ferrari they do look strong coming out of testing. They topped the first 2 days and the last 2 days. But yeah, their times from the first day and the last day was an improvement by about 2 seconds. So, yeah, I mean, again, like we discussed last week, there's not really much you can take from it. Other than, yeah, I mean, you do kind of expect that Mercedes and Ferrari will once again be the people at the top of the timesheets. But, yeah, I mean...
And there are rumors that Red Bull is pretty close this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, based on what? I don't know, but...
I don't know, just from people that I heard the rumors of. Yeah. Nothing I can base it on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're basing it on, but... we don't know anything. It's the same every year. People try to make predictions, blah blah blah, but we don't know anything until the first few races of the year. So that's what I'm waiting for, to make any assumptions over who has the quicker car.
Yep, absolutely. And one thing I noticed from watching the car's trackside was some kind of interesting noise the Mercedes car made. And I was in Barcelona for the fourth day of testing, where you would assume that they had most of the engine software and engine mappings figured out. But yeah, the car, not the, only the Mercedes itself, also the other, I think also the Williams car had that trademark. Whenever they downshifted into corners, there was like some misfiring going on with the engine, and it didn't sound too healthy, to be honest.
I was stuck in the media center the whole 2 weeks, so I didn't get to hear the cars around the track. So but sounds interesting. Not sure if it's a common thing with them, but maybe something to keep an eye on throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And watching the car's track side was again something else compared to TV. You just don't get all the let's call it 3D noises, all that's going on. As on television, it sounds much more flat compared to what you actually hear at the circuit. So that was a good experience, definitely. And my favorite viewing spot was turn 3, where you could really see how much energy goes through the tires, through the car. And yeah, it was cool to see, definitely. Other than that, maybe going back to Ferrari and already looking forward to the first race of the season. At the end of last year, we already had this kind of story with Ferrari Mission Winnow now sponsoring Ferrari, of course, a Philip Morris brand, so related to tobacco. And yeah, this season, again, they launched their car with the title sponsor of Mission Winnow, and also had some placements of that on the car and on the driver's suits. But they decided, or they had to drop that sponsoring for the Australian Grand Prix, right?
Yeah, well, the health department in Australia were kind of investigating it, something must have been said, so that they dropped it. But it's expected that those logos will be back for Bahrain, and also their team entry name for Australia is just Scuderia Ferrari, not Scuderia Ferrari Mission Winnow. But again, that is also set to be changed for Bahrain. So it seems to be something a little, it reminds me a little bit of alcohol advertising. Like, you know, we've seen in Williams when they had their martini sponsors, and some places where they couldn't run the red stripe, it was just the blue stripes that they ran.
In Abu Dhabi, right?
Yeah, there's a few races. We had Renault at the French Grand Prix last year, their alcohol sponsor, they had to advertise the 0% brand that they do, not the actual alcohol brand. So it's still a developing situation, I guess. Those logos, the whole Mission Winnow concept, initiative, whatever the hell it is, won't be present in Australia, but is set to be back in Bahrain. If it will be there after that, I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a thing that runs from country to country, but the fact that it is, getting off the cars for Australia does suggest, Philip Morris has said that it's in no way related to their tobacco stuff, and I don't think anyone really believes that. And yeah, the fact that they're having to take these logos off might suggest that there is a bit of foul play here.
I mean, anyway, it is great publicity for them, yeah. Because I mean, everyone's talking about is talking about Mission Winnow now because they dropped it, and then it'll get back, and it's good tactic actually to get the word out.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was their original plan, but
yeah, I don't think so.
It's well, either way, it seems to be working for them. I mean, when you have such prominent sponsorship on a Ferrari Formula One car, you're gonna get some people talking anyway. So
yeah, agree. Talking of big teams that are maybe not where they want to be, talking about McLaren, they had a difficult test, I would say. I mean, even some, I think Helmut Marko said, well, McLaren and Williams will be at the back. I don't know. Could be. Will be interesting to see. But one story that broke this week with the McLaren team is that Fernando Alonso will be back, right?
Yeah, so Alonso is back in an ambassador role for McLaren.
Something like Rosberg did after he retired from Mercedes.
Not so much. It's a lot more of an involved process with Alonso. I mean, Alonso never really left McLaren, you know, right? Even in, I think it was October last year, they announced that Alonso and McLaren announced that they would be competing at the Indy 500 together this year. So he never really left. But yeah, he will be testing the car throughout the course of the year, probably at the in-season tests. But yeah, I mean, it's good for McLaren to have someone like him around, because, well, you know, he's Fernando Alonso. He's one of the most experienced guys of all time, but also yep. he's been with McLaren for the last handful of years, so he has that experience. He has that knowledge of the team, you know, that has been progressing, well, not progressing, trying to progress, I guess, over the last few years. So yeah, it's going to be vital, I think, for McLaren to have some input from him. There was rumors mm-hmm. that he was going to drive in Barcelona because he showed up with his helmet, but yeah, that didn't come through. I would have really loved to have seen that, but yeah, he will be driving at some point throughout the year to help develop this year's car and McLaren's 2020 car. So hopefully it pays off for them, because I think most people do want to see McLaren return to the front of the grid.
Yeah, however, I personally think it's a bit of a strange concept. I mean, you've got two great drivers in the team. Of course, Lando Norris, we all know he's a rookie, but Carlos Sainz, he is kind of experienced already, although he is still pretty young. Why would you want a driver that maybe has a different driving style to test the car?
But I mean, it's Fernando Alonso. It's, you know, it's the two-time world champion. It's a guy who's been with McLaren for the last 4 years, rather, you know, working alongside two guys who are coming in for the first time at McLaren this year. Mm. Well, full-time, I know Norris has been there for, what, 2 years now, but, you know, in a full-time role, Alonso's input will be valuable to, extremely valuable to McLaren. And, you know, maybe McLaren's problems are that bad that it doesn't really make a difference if a driver has a different driving style. You know, any sort of input is vital for them. So I don't see any downsides at all of Alonso working there, because to have a voice on that, like that on the sides, guiding you through the season, and even for Sainz and Norris to be given advice by Fernando Alonso, you know, like I said, a two-time champion, one who many consider is one of the best of all time in the sport. So, yeah, I think he'll be a great asset to McLaren this year.
Yep, absolutely. He will definitely give them some input. The question really is how that translates to their drivers for the 2019 season then. Talking about driver movements and or announcements, we had another announcement from Renault also in the last week since our last episode, and they announced that Sergei Sirotkin, the Williams driver for the 2018 season, joined their team as a development driver role, right?
Yeah, he's joined them as a development driver. Good for him. After, you know, he was pretty disappointed after losing his seat at Williams after the 2018 season. That was pretty tough for him. Of course, he was in a car that couldn't really compete, but he's back in some form at Renault. Of course, he was at Renault for a couple of years before that, before he made a debut at Williams. But he knows the team well, because I think he spent 2 years there, it's good for him, I guess, to have some sort of links to keep his links in Formula One. Whether it helps him get a seat in the future or not, I don't know, but it's good to see him back. I think it was nice to see him in the paddock. Although I'm sure he'll be wishing he was a full-time driver rather than a development driver. But you know, these things can count. And who knows? Who are we to say that it won't help him return to F1 full-time?
Yeah, maybe. So I think that is all that we had to discuss from the second week of preseason testing in Barcelona. Much to learn for the Formula One teams during those 2 weeks. Probably not as much to learn for us, the viewers and the media. Now it's really time to get their aerodynamic pieces together and build the car up for Australia. And then we are off in Australia when will it be? On the 15th, right?
Not
Friday
long.
Practice.
Yeah, not long to go now. Really excited to get the season underway, ready to go.
Absolutely.
It's been a pretty long winter. Testing done and dusted. I'll be happy to see all the predictions and all these, you know, permutations die down once we actually get the season underway and we see who is actually on top and how close the battle is. But yeah, not long to go now before the season kicks off.
Absolutely. So I'm really looking forward to that. Looking forward to our next episode, where we, of course, will talk about the first Grand Prix of the season. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.